Father, I thank you, Lord, as we come together for fellowship. For it is written, and they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to daily fellowship together. Now, we declare that the word of the Lord, the entrance thereof, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray that our ears will hear what the Spirit is saying. Our eyes will see what you want to show us, Lord. And that our hearts will understand. Glory to God. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The fruit of the Spirit, part two. Joy. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we covered love. And again, we must start out each of these lessons with our memory verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Praise the Lord. So, that's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And that's where we are in this series, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is a fundamental topic that we all should review from time to time. Don't despise it saying, well, I already know that. But yeah, you know, let's see what the Lord will speak to us from time to time. The fruit of the Spirit. Why is this so important? Why is the joy of the Lord important for us to have in our lives? Let's talk about joy this morning. As we go through this, well, we'll see first what the scripture says, and we'll see application in our lives as well. You know, now we know that joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And I say part, and I did not say a fruit of the Spirit. As we have emphasized over and over already, this is a single fruit. That's right. Because God wants us to have all the flavors of this fruit. Every part of it. You might call it a nine-fold fruit. We can't pick and choose, unlike the gifts of the Spirit. You know, one is giving this, one is giving that, the other is giving that, and so on. But this one, you know, every part of this fruit of the Spirit must be present in our life together as one unit. So today we talk about joy. Now the Lord wants our joy to be full. Joy. In fact, the psalmist, he wrote something amazing. He said in Psalm 16 and verse 11, he said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore." A fullness of joy, my goodness, is in his presence. Well, how do we get that fullness of joy? Well, let's start off with that. That sounds like a good place to start. Because he talks about the, in his presence, is fullness of joy. And we've touched on this before. The argument being, well, If the scripture says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and again, if the scripture says that the presence of the Lord is everywhere, Jehovah Shammah, then it means that, or it should imply, that there should be fullness of joy everywhere. But that's not the case. In fact, that's the farthest thing from the situation. you know as well as I do that there is no fullness of joy everywhere. In fact, there is sorrow and there is travail. And the preacher in Ecclesiastes said, I've seen this travail under the sun. So given to the sons of men to travail therein. Yeah, you know. But yet, his presence is everywhere. And in his presence is fullness of joy. So we conclude that we're not talking about his universal presence. We're talking about his manifested and his revealed presence. Because not everybody experiences that, you know. And it's kind of like what we've said in the past, in the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 6. We see the experience that Isaiah had in the presence of the Lord. He saw the glory of the Lord. He said, in the year that King Uzzah died, you know, he had this experience. He saw the Lord. Ha! Glory to God. And he saw something, and he saw the seraphims, cherubims, all these creatures, you know, just having a lot of activities, you know, saying, you know, holy, 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 you know, to one another and so forth. The Lord of hosts is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. I wondered when I read that verse, perhaps for the first time, or some many years back, why are they saying the whole earth is full of his glory? I don't think the whole earth is full of his glory, or was even at any time full of his glory. You know, there's all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of evil and all kinds of destruction going on in the earth. Shedding of blood, you know, and so forth, violence and so on. But yet, talk about the whole earth is full of his glory. Well, this is the realm in which those seraphims were. You know, they connected with the glory of God, despite all that was around everywhere else. So this is the lesson about joy. You know, you can connect with the joy of the Lord despite everything. You can have the fullness of his joy when you go into his presence. Hallelujah. Despite whatever else may be going on. We see also in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 11, God's alerters and patrollers, they went and came back and gave the Lord report. They said, well, what do you see? They said, well, you know, we've gone to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. I said, I don't think so. You know, the whole earth is in trouble. You know, there's tumult everywhere, you know, cataclysmic upheavals, wars, and, you know, rumors of wars and different things. But yeah, you know, this is what they chose to report. So in the midst of all of that, there's different dimensions. You can see the dimensions of joy, you know, you can get into his presence and experience that despite all that's around. You can experience stillness and quietness despite all that is around that is negative. As a matter of fact, in the book of Isaiah chapter 60, you know, the prophet said, you know, pretty much, you know, the same thing. Said, whereas the world will be in darkness and gross darkness will be upon the people. Said, on the other hand, for you, the glory of God is risen upon you. So rather than see and dwell in the darkness, you can transition into the glory of God. So that's the level at which we want to bring this lesson. Arise, he said, and shine, for the glory of the Lord and is risen upon thee. Your light has come. Hallelujah. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And yet, in the midst of all of that, you can say the glory of the Lord is full of the, you know, the earth is full of the glory. And gone to and fro, I see the goodness of the Lord. Well, do you see the goodness of the Lord? Do you see the thorns or do you see the roses? Hallelujah. You know, gross darkness upon the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Hallelujah. So, now there may be sorrow everywhere, but we can transition into his presence to get the joy of the Lord. So that's what the psalmist was talking about. In his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And Jesus, you know, same kind of thing. The book of John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23, Jesus reveals a secret, you know, of his presence. Different from the one that I says, well, you know, the Lord is everywhere. Yeah, this is a different kind of presence. And you know, Jesus revealed it. And how do you experience that? Well, he reveals a secret. Let's read it in John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, you know, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is a different kind of presence revealed, manifested. You know, not the presence, not the universal presence. This is the revealed presence. He said again, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, make our abode with him. You know, so this is different than, as I often say, John 3:16, that says God loved the whole world. Well, God loved the whole world, but this one is a differentiated kind of love to the one that is keeping his commandments. He will reveal himself, will come to you. Now, this is a different presence. And this is the kind of presence that we should want, we should desire, we should aspire to have. This kind of presence, that's where you get the fullness of joy. Well, let's talk some more about this joy. What does the Lord, you know, want for us concerning joy? Well, he wants our joy to be full. In the book of John, excuse me, John chapter 15 and verse 11, you know, John recorded, you know, many very, you know, special sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is one of them. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, John 15 and 11, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So, you know, there is a joy of the Lord. Because he said, my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Well, you know, how do you get it? Well, this is, you know, by keeping his word, keeping his commandments. Hallelujah. You know, and this is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. And so your joy will be full when you experience his joy. Hallelujah. Now the Lord has joy too. The Lord knows how to rejoice and can actually rejoice. I mean, I'm not sure if, you know, we know that the Lord can do that, but he can, you know. And we are told that, you know, the Lord will rejoice over us with joy. But I'll come to that. Let me not get ahead of myself. I'm developing this thought the way, you know, the Lord gave it to me here. So God wants our joy to be full. In John chapter 16 and verse 24, John chapter 16 and verse 24, like I said, John recorded many things about some of the close sayings of Christ to his disciples. Praise the Lord. He said, hitherto, you know, at that time, ye had asked me nothing in my name. Well, ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So God wants our joy to be full. Well, that means you can have joy, but not in fullness. You know, but, you know, there's a way to get the fullness of joy. It's only in his presence. It's not only because of the things he can give us. Those things will add to it. But, you know, to really experience the fullness of joy, it's when we have the Lord himself. Hallelujah. Well, your joy can be full. Jesus said that. And, you know, we should want that kind of fullness of joy. I mean, in fact, our prayer should be, Lord, give me this fullness of joy. You know, sometimes when Jesus would talk to the disciples about something, they would be wondering about it. And they would say, well, Lord, you know, and he would talk, challenge them about their faith. And say, well, Lord, give us more faith. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I meant. It's not about getting more. It's about using what you already got. And here's how you do it. And then he would teach them, you know. So now, you know, how do we get, you know, more joy? Well, step into his presence. Praise the Lord. The book of 1 Peter, you know, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. You know, the Apostle Peter also talks about, you know, it's, you know, joy unspeakable. Now, I'm talking about fullness of joy now. You know, called it joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he was talking about, you know, the things that we may go through. He said, look, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, are we in the last time? Of course. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. This is verse 6 now, 1 Peter 1. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, even though you haven't seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not yet, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we see there is a description of the kind of joy that we can experience in knowing the Lord, you know, in a personal, very close way, can experience joy unspeakable. Well, why is it unspeakable? It's because you just can't describe it, but it's full of glory, you know, the glory of the Lord hovering over you, and the salvation of our souls is the end of that. Finally, we can experience that joy. Praise the Lord. You know, so God wants our joy to be full. The Bible also describes us having joy even in difficult situations, crises and various things. I mean, how in the world can you still have joy? You know, well, it's something that you've got to be intentional about, you know, that you will experience the joy of the Lord. You know, you got to be intentional about it. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, we see the experience of this man, how he said, look, even though I lost everything, it looks like bankruptcy. I lost everything. I mean, he tried everything, investment, everything, all gone, you know, stocks cut off, you know, everything, the flocks, everything. He lost it all. You know, I said, well, even though I, you know, that's the situation, what I choose to do is, you know, is yet I rejoice in the Lord, and I rejoice in the God of my salvation. So let's read it together. Habakkuk 3 and 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. I mean, look at all the things that he might have lost. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Well, yeah, everything turned upside down. I mean, sometimes it looks like what we are trusting the Lord for, opposite comes. You know, we look for much, but little came. You know, all kinds of things. Well, this man made up his mind. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy. Hallelujah. I'm going to let the joy, you know, the God of my salvation be in me. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Glory to God. And he will make my feet like hinds feet. He will cause me to rise upon my high places. Hallelujah. You know, so he was intentional about whatever situation he's going through. You know, losses on every side. Sometimes he said, well, but I have chosen to have the joy of the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That takes a determination, an intent, you know, in our hearts to do that. But we can do it too. We can determine within ourselves that we're not going to give the devil the satisfaction of thinking that he got you down. Praise the Lord. James said this, my brethren, James chapter 1 verse 2, count it all joy. You know, when you fall into diverse testings and trials and so forth, knowing now this temptation here, this word here in the King James, actually trial that it's talking about, because you'll see the next phrase in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that's what it's talking about, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. So God wants us to experience his joy. And this comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit to experience joy in the midst of all kinds of difficulties. The psalmist put it this way, that you may be going through some stuff now, but he said, look forward to joy in the morning. Psalm 30 and verse 5. The sorrow, he said, may endure for a night. And I love it. I've always used this to encourage myself. I say it this way to myself. Well, the night cannot last forever. I don't care how long the night lasts, whether it's the winter months and the night lasts longer here in the U.S. But at some point, the day must break. This is an ordinance that God put in place from the beginning. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day, and so on. God put it in place and in Genesis 1 and 14. And he said, look, let these things, you know, signs and these lights and so forth, let them be in the heavens. Let them be for seasons and for times and for signs. He put it out there. You know, so the night rather cannot last forever. Well, you know, it may be gloomy for a while and so forth, but joy, he's promised, is coming in the morning. The day is going to break. Hallelujah. At some point in time. Praise God. And maybe a couple of hours longer of darkness in the winter seasons, you know, but longer or not, at some point, the day is going to dawn and the day is going to break. Can't do it. That night can't last forever. So joy is coming for us in the morning, no matter where you may be right now. Let's have hope, you know, that joy is coming in the morning. I mean, Paul said pretty much the same thing in Romans 12 and 12 when he talks about, you know, rejoicing in hope. You know, that's hope of a better tomorrow, you know, than, you know, what may be right now. You know, and, you know, it's good to have a positive attitude. He said, look, be kindly affectioned one to another, reading from verse 10, just to get some context. You know, brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Well, I say in hope of a better tomorrow. Patient in the tribulation that's at hand right now. While you're going through it, continue in standing prayer. Don't give up and don't give in. Men ought always to pray, but there is hope. Joy is coming in the morning. Praise the Lord. Now, this is something that we can experience. We can turn it on. Let it flow. It's, you know, if we have the Spirit of God, there is the ability of Him to bring joy to our souls, even in difficult times. But we got to let Him do it. You know, the soul is a delicate piece. You know, it's got all those emotions. You know, sometimes you are happy, sometimes sad, sometimes angry, sometimes frustrated, you know, sometimes elated. I mean, all of these things, you know, happen in the soul. But, you know, the Holy Spirit has the ability, you know, to transfer that joy even into your soul. But you must be intentional and allow Him to do it. Now, let's not focus on the negative. Rejoice, you know, in the Lord. The psalmist says, you know, and again I say rejoice. You know, that means being intentional, you know, rejoice. You know, that's a celebration of joy. It's what it means. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Paul talked about it as well. Many people talked about, you know, rejoicing. So let's look at, the scriptures that instruct us to rejoice. Well, rejoice in the Lord, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. So, psalmist was always rejoicing. He would say, look, you know, I will praise the Lord with my song. I will praise Him, you know, with my heart. You know, I will praise Him even with my glory. Praise the Lord and rejoicing. I mean, praising the Lord also has, you know, the ability or the capacity to bring joy into our hearts. You know, when we're praising the Lord, it has the ability or the capacity, you know, to bring joy into our hearts. Praise the Lord. And that's why you find that, you know, when you really get into the praising of the Lord, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it brings joy. The psalmist connects praises and rejoicing together. How do you do it? Well, in Psalm 33, we read this. He said, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. I mean, he's talking about rejoice. Why are you talking about praise? Well, because they are connected. You would have thought he would have said something like, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for rejoicing is the portion of the righteous. But the way he put it, you'll see that it connects rejoicing with praise. You know, praise has the capacity to stir joy in our heart. When we praise the Lord with a harp, he said, praise the Lord with a harp, sing unto Him with a psaltery and instrument of tense, you know, strings, sing a new song, play skillfully, do all of these things. You know, before you know it, the joy of the Lord, you know, starts to rise in our hearts, even from praising the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so rejoice in the Lord always. Let's read some things that Paul said about that. We read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 verse 1. Exhortations for us to take, you know, this rejoicing of the Lord seriously. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, there are many exhortations like that throughout the scriptures. You know, it's something you got to do. Rejoice, you know. What are you going to do about rejoicing? Well, you can start praising the Lord. You can rejoice. You can sing praise and shout the glory of the Lord. I mean, you know, whatever it takes to get that joy flowing. you know, there's no point cowering in a corner and being, you know, sad or sorrowful or, you know, self-pity and all of that. Well, Isaiah said, loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Shake yourself from the dust, you know, all this gloomy stuff. You know, I know when we started these rooms a couple of years ago, I used to tell people, get up in the morning, look in that mirror and tell what you see in the mirror. We're not doing that gloomy stuff today. None of that heavy, gloomy stuff. Today, we're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. And I am going to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, psalmist, he will say things like, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. You know. He loved it when people rejoiced and when they shouted with joy to the Lord. And that, you know, like I said, you know, has a way of bringing, joy to our souls. You know, try it. Praise the Lord, you know, at the time, you know, Psalm 98 and verse 4, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, when you do it, when you shout the victory, praise the Lord, you let it out. It's a joy, a feeling of joy. If you really get into it, that can come from there. You know, make a joyful noise to the Lord. It's called exuberance. You know, you let it out. Rejoice, you know. Let's carry on with the joy of the Lord, you know. Also in Philippians chapter 4, you know, verse 4, Paul said the same thing. You know, he said, look, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. So always, you know, be intentional about letting that joy flow through. The joy of the Lord coming through because we are rejoicing and we are praising the Lord. You know, God wants, you know, the gladness and joy to be with us. You know, the voice of gladness, the voice of merriment, the voice of them that shall say praise the Lord. He wants that us to have that kind of joy. Jeremiah chapter 30, you know, and verse 19. It says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them, you know, that shall say praise the Lord. Let's read it together. Jeremiah 30 and 19. This, you know, this is God wants us to have, even in our habitation, in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, in our lives, wants us to have this kind of joy. Praise the Lord. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them shall make merry. Hallelujah. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them. Hallelujah. And they shall not be small. Isn't that wonderful what the Lord wants us to have? You know, He wants us to have joy, rejoicing, and so on. You know, it is called rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to have. Joy is coming for us even this year. Praise the Lord. Joy is coming to your homes. Hallelujah. Joy is coming into our lives. Hallelujah. And we're going to experience more and more joy. Same thing he said in Jeremiah 33 and 11. He wants us to have this joy. You know, laughing in and out of church, having the joy of the Lord with us. He said, look, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, this is Jeremiah 33 and 11, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. Hallelujah. That's what we want to hear this year. Praise the Lord. And the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord. You see that joy is always associated with praising the Lord. And praising the Lord is also associated with joy. They will say, praise the Lord. They will say the Lord is good. They will say his mercy endureth forever. And the voice of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Lord said, I'm going to bring restoration. Glory to God. Even as at the first. So, God has promised us a lot of things, you know, prophetic repairs. You know, it's all about God restoring joy to our hearts. Now, joy is so powerful that, look, when their joy is lacking, well, certain things are also lacking. Let's read this in Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate also tree, and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, they are withered away. Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. You know, so you can see how joy actually makes things to flourish. You know, I believe that, you know, if you have plants in the house that are dying and you start to praise the Lord and sing, it's been proven. That was an experiment that I read sometime. Praising and just playing music and so forth, you know, some of those plants that come alive. You know, you can just praise the Lord, have the joy. And this scripture in verse 12 of Joel 1 is telling us that, you know, when the joy is gone, then all the other things are gone as well. You know, so let's be the catalyst for good things by having the joy of the Lord in our hearts. When joy is withered away from the sons of men, then all other things around them start to wither away as well. You know, that's a powerful revelation. You know, so you want things to spring up into newness of life in your life. Well, you know, kick in that gear of joy. Hallelujah. Kick in the joy. You know, kick in that joy. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord will cause the other things as well to spring forth. Hallelujah. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 also talks about, you know, the joy of the Lord. So let's read that one also. You know, I mean, rejoicing in the Lord. You know, this is the many exhortations are given by the apostles, you know, asking us to rejoice. Rejoice in this one, he says, rejoice evermore. You know, evermore. I mean, it's intentional rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not just the giving of thanks. That's the will of God. The rejoicing is the will of God. The praying without ceasing is the will of God. All these things he said, it's the will of God. You know, rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus said, look, I know that, you know, in the world you have tribulation and so forth, but be of good cheer. That means rejoice. Be of good cheer means rejoicing. I have overcome the world for you. So in the midst of these things that may be going on, how can we have joy? Well, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring the joy to us. Praise the Lord. John 16 and 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You know, cheer is rejoicing. Yeah, because I have overcome the world for you. And Jesus wants us to have this joy. Praise the Lord. Have the joy of the Lord and rejoice evermore. when we do that through praising the Lord, especially, you know, we see that, you know, joy begins to spring up in our hearts. Glory to God. So let's read a few more exhortations about rejoicing. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Well, every day we can practice the thing that this thing says here. You know, it's a, this is a new day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's another day. And that's why I played that song at the beginning. It's another day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you can choose, you know, that posture for yourself. It's not something that's easy, but it comes with, it gets better with practice. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's intentional. And that's a declaration of your posture. I'm going through this day. I'm going to rejoice. I'm not doing any of that gloomy stuff. None of that heavy stuff. None of that gloomy stuff. The Lord made this day for me, not the other way around. And for this day will be subject to me. Jesus told them, even Sabbath or whatever, you know, the Lord, Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath as well. These days, things were created for us. We were not created for the day. So this day be subject. Hallelujah. And we come like that in the womb of the morning. And that's why, you know, rooms like this, even our prayer room that starts earlier than this one, is so critical. You come out and you just receive the goodness of the Lord and declare it for yourself. Talks about, you know, in the womb of the morning, we do that, you know. Psalm 110. And verse 3 talks about thy people be willing the day of thy power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You know, the day is pregnant with something, but, you know, you can influence what it's going to bring forth. And don't leave it to chance. You know, influence what it's going to bring forth. In the womb of the morning, it's pregnant. What is it going to bring forth? Well, you could choose gladness and joy. Praise God, you know, and influence it. Declare it and stand strong with it. The Lord says, look, make your declaration so that you may be justified. Stand firm in what you say as well. As you declare in my ears, even so will I do unto you. When you speak it, you stand by it. Praise the Lord. You speak it, you stand by it. You speak it, you stand by it. The Lord will confirm it. Praise the Lord. He will confirm it, because that's what he says. Put me in remembrance. Isaiah 43 and 26. Declare it, that thou mightest be justified. Well, when you declare it, what did he say? In Numbers 14 and 28, as you have spoken it in my ears, even so will I do unto you. Well, I declare that this day is a day of joy. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll say, well, I'll do it to you. Praise the Lord. So let's declare the goodness and the joy of the Lord for ourselves all the time. Jesus talked about rejoicing in tribulations and sufferings. You know, the apostles talked about that as well. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, you know, Jesus was talking about, you know, everyone is, you know, familiar with this, you know, so-called Sermon on the Mount. And he said, look, blessed are ye, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And that falsely part is important. For my sake, because you are a believer, a child of God, propagator of the gospel, people hate you and they try to undermine you in different ways, say evil against you falsely, he said. Well, he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus is encouraging us that even in the face of persecution and all the things that we may suffer for Christ, let's do it with joy. Now, in the early church, we have a record that the apostles were glad to, to have the opportunity to suffer for Christ. There is a story in Acts chapter 5 where they did that. You know, they beat them and do all kinds of things. They tell them not to do things, not to speak in the name of the Lord. And they beat them up. They do all kinds of things. They cast them out. You know, but the Bible says, well, they rejoiced that they were able to suffer from the Lord. Praise the Lord, you know. So these people, you know, said they departed from the presence of the council, Acts 5 and 41, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know, they wanted them to not do it. They were threatening them and everything like that. You know, one man stood up and said, look, let this thing alone, because you don't know. I mean, if it's of God, it will stand. You can't do anything about it. If it's of man, it will fail anyway. You know, and so, but if it's of God, you can't overthrow it. Gamaliel, he said that. And then finally, when they let them go, you know, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of the Lord anymore. You know, after they beat them, the Bible says, you know, they agreed to him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, it's verse 40 of Acts 40, beating them. In those days, they don't beat you with just one slap. Stripes, you know, when they are beating them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Don't do it. Otherwise, you're coming back here and getting more beating. You're going to throw you into jail and all these things. And they let them go. And these apostles, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of the Lord. You know, so joy in the midst of persecution, joy in the midst of trials, and so forth. And here's a marvelous, marvelous prophecy in the book of Isaiah. In two places, he says it's pretty much the same thing, of which we sing a song, Isaiah 35 and 10, and Isaiah 51 and 11. I mean, therefore the ransom of the Lord shall return, you know, with singing and so forth. You know, an everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Well, let's read how he says it. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. In two places, Isaiah 35:10, Isaiah 51:11, says pretty much the same thing. Gladness and joy is something that the Lord promised for us. We'll obtain it. Well, now we have the Holy Spirit, and part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Well, so let's let that flow. Don't stifle it with negativism. Let it flow. God promised us even the oil of gladness. In the book of Isaiah 61, powerful prophecy that Jesus laid claim to, in Luke chapter 4, he, you know, went to the synagogue, picked up the book of Isaiah after he came back from the wilderness, and found the place where it was written and read this thing and closed the book and gave it to the minister again and said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your eyes and your ears. Well, and what was it he read? Well, Isaiah 61. Let's read it together. There are many things in the ministry of Christ that was proclaimed way before he came. Isaiah proclaimed it. Jesus confirmed it. And, you know, one of the things that he said is about, you know, this joy. Let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of judgment, vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. Hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So God is glorified when we have joy. He's glorified with all these other things, but among them is the oil of joy. Gives us the oil of joy, you know, so that he might be glorified. It's called the oil of joy. For those that are going into, you know, through mourning or sorrow or sadness or what, you know, things like that, the Lord says, you know, I'm going to give you the oil of joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful promises. And when the Lord restores your joy, well, then you will build the old waste places. You will raise up the former desolations and you repair. Remember, prophetic repairs. Repair the waste cities, desolations of many generations. You know, because now the joy of the Lord has restored in your life. All the things that were withered according to Joel chapter 1 verse 12, they begin to spring back to life because your joy has returned. Praise the Lord. When your joy has returned, then things around you start to spring back into life again. Glory to God. The joy of the Lord is our strength, according to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Well, the joy of the Lord, you can read that in a couple of different ways. You know, remember Jesus said, my joy will be in you. So Jesus has joy too. Or you can say, you can read it also to say, what makes the Lord happy is what gives me strength. Joy of the Lord. Either way, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, that joy that comes from the Spirit of God is our strength. And God himself, you know, he does that. I mean, he has joy, you know. Hallelujah. It is, I mean, joy, the Lord, there are certain things that even heaven rejoices about. We're told that, you know, there's joy in heaven, you know, over a sinner that repents. There's joy in heaven over that. There's joy when people turn to the Lord. There is joy. There is joy in the heart of the Lord when we do the right thing, you know. And, you know, when we praise the Lord, there is joy too, because he inhabits the praises of his people. You know, so the Lord has reasons why he wants us to rejoice. Our joy actually brings, you know, joy to the Lord as well. You know, some of the things that we do also bring joy to the Lord. Zephaniah, in the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. That's right. You know, the Lord is mighty. He will save. You know, he will save, will rejoice over us with joy and so forth. Let me read it exactly the way he says it. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. You know, and he will joy over thee with singing. Even the Lord himself, you know, enjoys, you know, when he sees good things. And, you know, when his victory comes through for us, rejoice. You know, he will rejoice. He said, the Lord, in the midst of these mighty, he will save, you know, and he'll bring salvation, he'll bring all of these things. It causes joy for him. And it brings deliverance, you know, to you. And you experience the victory of the Lord and you shout the praise of the Lord. It gives him joy. Rejoice over you. It's singing as well. Isn't that beautiful? You know, so not only we, you know, when we practice joy, it brings joy to the Lord as well. When we win souls, you know, it brings joy, you know, to the Lord. The scripture says that, you know, the Jesus gave a parable of, you know, the shepherd that had 100 sheep, you know, and one of them wandered away, and he left the 99 and went and looked for the one, you know, until he found it. And when he found it, he brought it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And he said, well, even so, you know, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. He said that in multiple places in the Gospels, and also part of the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Talked about that. You know, I say to you that likewise there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and over others that don't need repentance. So every time we influence someone to give their life to Christ, it creates joy in heaven. Luke chapter 15, you can read that and see, you know, that lesson in verse 7 of Luke 15. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. You know, so this fruit or part of the fruit of the Spirit called joy is an amazing attribute that God wants us to experience from time to time. Our lesson today is this. Let's summarize it. We have the ability to rejoice, and we can choose to do that. You know, God has given us the Spirit, and the within the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that, you know, we should bear includes joy. And by us being intentional, rejoice is an intentional act. You know, let that joy flow through. Praise God. Now, there are some people that are naturally exuberant. You know, some people are a little more morose, you know, and so forth. Why? You know, let the joy of the Lord flow through you. You can help your psyche, your emotions, by practicing the presence of the Lord in praising the Lord. Remember Psalm 33:1 that we read, you know, praise is calmly rejoicing and praising the Lord. And that's how you do it, you know, and let's make a habit of rejoicing in the Lord. In the beginning of the day, such as this, for us who are just in the early hours of the day, you will say, well, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in today. You go through the day, in the middle of the day, you remember it. You remind yourself, I'm going to rejoice still. Praise the Lord. Habakkuk, no matter what he's going through, said, I will rejoice and I will joy in the God of my salvation. I mean, it's intentional, but God also, above that, he promises us there will be voice of joy in your gatherings, voice of joy out of your homes, voice of merriment in this year. Now that's prayer, and I'm declaring it as prayer for us. The voice of them that shall be merry, the voice of bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of babies, voice of all these things, you know. And he says, you know, the Lord is the one that is doing it. It will bring these things, you know, cause these things to spring forth among us. Praise the Lord. So let's know that joy is ours. God has already given it to us. And we don't really need to pray for joy. We just need to experience it. He's already given it to us. You know, so, but let us be intentional in rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Well, that's our lesson today. Part two of the you know, fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, is the fruit of the Spirit. Again, what is the lesson? I mean, what is the memory verse? Well, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. By now, everybody should be able to know that. I gave you a hint of how you can do it. This is the way I did it. I broke it into threes. Since there are nine, I did it in threes. So it's easier that way. I said, well, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know, so that's the fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me. And that's what we are talking about today. Number two in that list of nine. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it at that, and for us to share our thoughts and our comments. There are many more scriptures, but look at the time. You know, I think we've, you know, covered enough. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these things that you have promised us, the joy. And we can experience joy even in the midst of all these things. We can have light even in the midst of darkness. We know that joy is coming in the morning, no matter what we go through. And you have commanded us to rejoice evermore. Lord, we pray that you give us the, you know, internal fortitude to determine to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. It's because it's a day that the Lord created, so I'm going to rejoice in it. Lord, pray that joy also will come for us. We know that you have promised that no matter what's going on, you know, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy, we know, is coming in the morning. And I pray that the night hours will roll away. Amen. And the day will dawn. The day is dawning. The day star rising in our hearts and the day dawn. Hallelujah. And joy coming for everyone that's been going through. Now, whatever it is that we have been going through, that try to steal. Remember, the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. No. Kill your dreams. Steal your joy. Destroy your life even. What he wants to do. But the Lord said, I've come that you may have life and that more abundantly. So let joy spring forth in our hearts. And as we rejoice, Lord, you said that, you know, things will spring to life as well. The joy of the Lord returns into our hearts, cause even things around us to start to spring to life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this lesson. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.